the rear view or side mirrors. And we came to this for several reasons, but the major reason is because we're moving into 2020 and we want to have 2020 vision in 2020. When we go into the new decade, we want to have vision from the Lord. Amen. We don't want to see what we've been seeing, do what we've been doing, act like we've been acting, think like we've been thinking. We want to have a vision for our future. And it doesn't start tomorrow. It starts now. Amen. So blind spots part three, which was last week, will give us just a little background. I'm going to give us a little background. Number one, because it was a masterful sermon. Even if I must say so myself, it was a masterful sermon. But the problem was is that the video cut off and the CD cut off. So we have no recollection. You can't go back and watch it. You can't get it on the app. It's just one of them sermons that you just miss. Sometimes if you miss it, you just miss it. So if you can, in this new decade, avoid missing for missing sake, I wouldn't do that, because some stuff you don't get back again. Amen? A blind spot is I can always get it later. Not all the time. Sometimes when it's gone, it's gone. Some opportunities, when they're gone, they're gone. So let me just give us a little background. I was comparing two accounts of blindness. One was in John 9, the other one was in Mark chapter 8, I believe. And what we did, we used them to actually mirror unbelievers and believers, taking two different blind man's accounts, and we showed how it represents believers and unbelievers. And in the last days, we talked about how you can still be a believer and still have some areas of blindness where you need God to touch your eyes. And so maybe I'll preach it again sometime, but you can't go back and find it. You just got to trust me. It was masterful. Amen. So that leads me to blind spots part four. Everybody say part four. All right, so I was thinking Christmassy, because we're going to move into Christmas in a few days on Wednesday. It'll be Christmas. Tuesday's Christmas Eve. And so I was thinking about that as it relates to blind spots. So the first thing I want to do, I want to go to Mark chapter 7, verse 6. And I want Mother Mitchell to read that for me.
He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'"
Jesus was speaking to the religious crowd, and he was always the roughest with the religious crowd, and he called them hypocrites. And one of the blind spots that we can have as Christians is that you can honor God with your lips, but your heart be far from him. If I say everybody say hallelujah, about 90% of y'all are going to say hallelujah. But it may be only 20% of you who actually mean hallelujah when you say hallelujah, because you can get caught up in just doing a routine and going through the motion. And Jesus challenged that. He doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. And so let's look at Mark 7 and 7.
"They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules."
7:8.
"You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions."
Here's a problem that oftentimes, in order to hold on to a human tradition, you have to let go of the command of God. And so I came to this thinking about Christmas itself. Nothing wrong with Christmas at all, but Christmas is very traditional. And tradition means, it actually comes from the word trade winds, which means winds that are traded down. In other words, a tradition has been passed down, and oftentimes you're doing something and don't necessarily know why you're doing. It's just a tradition. Kind of like in Blind Spots Part 2, when we talked about the culture, how sometimes because it's just the way we do things, you just do it by happenstance. And sometimes that's what tradition is. Tradition is not necessarily a bad thing. Tradition is neutral. It could be either positive or negative. But sometimes you don't know unless you look to find out, is the what's being traded down to me, is it positive or is it negative? Is it neutral? What is it? And so when it comes to this, Jesus says that sometimes you have to evaluate a tradition, because in order for you to hold on to some traditions, you have to let go of God. Now, before I move on to the next verse, I would ask this question. I'm just going to throw it out there. Can anything stop the word of God? Yes or no? All right, let's look at verse 13.
Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition.
Sorry, you were wrong. Sounds good. Sounds like nothing can stop the word of God. But there is actually one thing that actually can nullify the word of God. And it's not the devil.
Your tradition.
It's not sin. It's tradition. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition. Read.
That you have handed down.
Something that's been handed down. So you read again.
And you do many things like that.
So oftentimes in your Christian walk, and even though they weren't Christians at the time, but in your religious walk, many times you are carrying traditions that actually negate the word of God. One scripture says, try the spirits and see whether they be of God. So we're moving into Christmas, and Christmas is very traditional. When you get to holidays, they are all very traditional. But be careful just following tradition, because you could be nullifying the word of God. You could be doing something that is actually opposing God. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying you could be. So what that means is you're going to have to study. You're going to have to know the word of God. You're going to have a conversation and dialogue with God. Whenever you get ready to do stuff, don't just have conversation with God. One scripture says it this way. It says, don't say, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Say, if the Lord be willing. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. So don't just be making plans without having a prophetic vision. I'm going to go here. I'm going to Aruba. No, you might die in Aruba. Before you talk about where you're going, what you're going to do, talk to God. Well, we've always, our tradition is we go on a vacation every year, and vacations are good and vacations are awesome, but you have to have a working knowledge of the word of God where God talks to you. So when he says no, you say no. And it might upset your tradition, but you're better off following God, because the only thing that can actually hinder the word of God is your tradition. So we got to be very, very careful with tradition. Very, very careful for what's traded down. And why are we doing what we're doing? Where did that come from? Where did we get it from? Is that a slavery mindset I'm carrying around? I'm doing it. Well, I do it because I'm black, but maybe you do it because you were slave. Check it out before you keep doing. When you go into 2020, don't just do things haphazardly. Understand, why am I doing this? And if it's for a great reason, keep doing more of it. For a bad reason, back up, reevaluate. So let me put this up. Blind spots can happen where tradition meets the word of God. All right. So let me say this. The Christmas story tradition. So when we come to Christmas, Christmas is laden with tradition. This is one thing I want you to understand. If traditionally you have always bought a whole bunch of gifts for people, that is awesome. But if you have one year where you don't have the money, guess what? It's okay to buck the tradition. Folk ought to still love you. If you're broke, you're just broke. You're getting cookies this year. You're getting hugs this year. You're getting smiles this year. And I hope you still love me, because my tradition is not important. In fact, right now I can't afford it. What if you can't afford it, but you just don't want to do it this time? I can afford it, but I want something in April of 2020. And if I'm going to get it in April of 2020, December 25 of 19, I can't do what I've always done. I hope you're happy for what I've done in the past, but the tradition's going to change, and I want to do something different. So understand that. So coming to the Christmas story tradition, just don't do things because you've always done. Well, I got to buy from so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Do you? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Maybe it's just tradition. Now, having said that, let me say something. I'm going to take a rabbit trail that is inside my notes, so I'm not going to stay too long, but it's a very important rabbit trail that I have to take, because in this day and age, we have what we call woke people. Woke people, sometimes I want woke people to go back to sleep. Woke people have all this knowledge and they have a whole lot to say. A lot of times woke people, they spend a lot of time on Facebook. I want to do woke people have jobs. Maybe you wouldn't be so woke if you went to work. Get off Facebook. But woke people, they buck against tradition. Nothing wrong with bucking against tradition and bringing up knowledge and things. So in order to really touch that, let me put this up. What is our position on Christmas and other holidays? As a pastor, as a leader of Deliverance Temple, I'm saying we shouldn't just jump into tradition. But let me say, what is my position on Christmas and all other holidays? I know a lot of stuff. I've studied a lot of stuff. I've studied church history. I've studied all the way back beyond slavery. Don't you know, just because you're black, our history didn't start at slavery. We're way beyond that. So I've done studied, and I know a bunch of stuff, and a lot of stuff that the woke people are talking about, I already know about it. And I've already been and done with it. So let me tell you what my position is. So when they tell you your pastor is doing this because he's trying to keep his 501c3, let me tell you what my position is. So my position always comes from the word of God, not from my tradition, but from the word of God. So let's read Romans 14 and 5.
One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
One man makes a big day out of the day. Another man don't care about the day. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let me put it in the message. Read it from the message. Romans 14, 5.
Or say, one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other.
Holy days, holy days, holy days, or holidays. Actually, holiday comes from holy day. So one person thinks one day should be set aside as holy. The other person says, I don't care about it. Read some more.
There are good reasons either way.
What? There are good reasons either way.
Either way.
It's a good reason for you to participate. It may be a good reason for you not to participate. Read.
So each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience.
Each person, let me let you know my position. Everybody is free to do what you want to do when it comes to the holiday. If you want a vacation and spend money and do that, guess what? Put this up for me. Do you, boo? Do you? Don't let somebody tell you what you can do with your own day. It's your day. It's your time. Do you? If you want to decorate from the rooter to the tooter, decorate and have a blast, you're still saved. Do you? If you don't want no part about it and you want to stay and pull the covers up over your head and eat chicken noodle soup, do you? Let each person be convicted and convinced to follow his own heart. I am not a pastor that feels like I have to control my saints in order for me to be a good pastor. That's not leadership. That's control. Yeah. If you want to buy for every woman you've ever dated in Valentine's Day, do you. Now, you might get shot. You might get beat up. But do what you want to do. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. All right, that's enough of that. Do you? Stop letting other folk tell you because of some knowledge they gain. Stop letting other people tell you what you can do. We are all allotted the same amount of time. Guess what? You can't control my time. So you stay in your block. I stay in my block. We do it the way we want to do it. Understand that. Don't ever let somebody tell you what you can do. When you ain't, you can't be saved worshiping Santa. I'm saved and I'm sitting on Santa's lap with my 43-year-old self if I want to do it. Romans 14, 6. Let's read some more.
He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it.
For saved folk who really believe in God, here's the thing. Some people, whatever you do either way, as long as you're doing it unto the Lord, it's beautiful. Read.
He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks.
Either way, read 14:12.
So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Here's the thing. Let me switch it real quick. When I said, do you, boo? I'm assuming you're doing it according to what God has led you to do. Because everybody's got to give account of God for himself.
Yes.
You can't point at me and say, well, Pastor Andre said I can do what I want to do. He even sang that song. But here's the assumption. Pastor Andre thinks that you have a relationship with God and you're going to be listening to God and you're not going to buck against God. Everybody going to give account of God for themselves.
Yes, amen.
Woke folk got to give account of God for themselves. Verse 13, here's the key.
Let us not therefore judge one another anymore.
Stop being in other folks' business. Read.
But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's
way. Don't allow your knowledge to make somebody else fall. You walk in and you feel like I don't want to participate in Christmas. It's too commercialized. I don't think Jesus is being praised. I'm not going to participate. And you see another saint with a whole bunch of bags. Now, listen, shut up. Keep on walking. You ain't got to talk. Just do you. Stop judging other people based on their own convictions. Because when you assume, you make a blank out of you and me. Amen. Verse 14, 19.
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
Instead of fighting on Facebook, let's do the things that bring about peace. If it hurts you for me to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas for the sake of peace, I'm going to say Merry Christmas to you. If I say Merry Christmas and you like Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and it bothers you, I'm going to say Happy Holidays. It's not that I'm changing me. I'm trying to follow the things that bring about peace. It is sick people that are always judging somebody else and always fussing and fighting and everything somebody else is doing is wrong. How about we follow peace and do things that will edify one another? Let me bring it all down to this one thing. If there are things that we don't agree on, why do we always have to spend time on that? How about we talk about all the things we do agree on and move together? This is what marriage is about, men and women. They say men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We see things in two different lanes. Many times you do not agree, but you come together for the greater good to build something awesome, because that's what coming together is. You compromise, they compromise, and the two become one. And when you learn how to do that, even in the Christian life, it helps. All right, having got that rabbit trail out of the way, because I want you to know my position, and I said in all holidays, I mean all of them, do what you want to do, shoot off fireworks, all that kind of stuff. Even if it comes to Halloween and you want to dress your kids up, I don't suggest you dress them up with demonic stuff and all that. But if you feel like putting them in a superhero and I'm not putting mine in a superhero, guess what? Do you. I'm not. You ain't going to have no trouble for me. Just hear from God for yourself. Amen. All right. Blind spots in the Christmas story tradition. So now we're going to get back to the Christmas story tradition. So I don't care what you do with Christmas, how you do it. But let's look and see if there's anything in the tradition that we have not seen because we are blinded. So here's the thing. I'm going to ask this another question. I'm giving y'all a second chance. The first time y'all answer the question, you got it wrong. It's okay. I'll give y'all another chance. And I'm a good preacher, good pastor, and I'm a good teacher. You get another chance. Amen. I might even throw you another communion cracker if you get it right. All right. Got this question for you. How many wise men came to see baby Jesus? Yell it out. Four. What else? Three. Anybody else? More than that. Okay. Let me put this picture up. Traditionally, this is the kind of stuff we see. We see three. We see the star. We see little baby Jesus in there. Let me put something up, because this is tradition. So we got three, four, so we got different even traditions in the same building. Let's look at this. It says this, gifts of the three wise men. This is the heading, the gifts of the three wise men. The tradition that there were three wise men arose from the fact that the Bible mentions three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, according to Matthew 2:11. However, the Bible doesn't say how many wise men made the journey to see the baby Jesus. It's just tradition. So the nativity scene that you see with three or four is just tradition. The Bible never says how many there were. We just assume based on tradition. It doesn't say that. There's three types of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the assumption is there was three people that gave the gifts, but that's just an assumption. So when you're looking at things, we always have to look at the word. If the word doesn't say it, just say it's an assumption. It's a suggestion. Don't make it law if the Bible doesn't say it. And many things that we do based on the tradition. What the Bible says, a lot of times when people say the Bible says, they really don't know what the Bible says. They are taking through some tradition. I remember one time sitting in a barbershop, and you know this is a long time ago when I still had hair, sitting in the barbershop and hearing men talking about what the Bible said a wife should do. And I'm thinking, no wonder these people are unmarried, single, and ain't got nobody, because they talking about what the Bible says this, the Bible said that, and they was off as two left shoes. People who don't come to church can tell you more about the Bible than people who go to church, and both of them be wrong. We're not going to accept tradition. All right, so moving past that, I can't give y'all no gifts because y'all didn't even know what we didn't, couldn't even agree on that. But here's the truth. The truth of the matter is it doesn't say. So you could be right. The three could have been right. The four could have been right. Many things could have been right. But let me say one thing that lets us know it might be. I think Sister Essence said it could be more than that. One thing that kind of clues us in it might be more than just the three or the four is that Herod wanted to kill the baby once he found out about the magi or the wise men. And some people believe that Herod would not have thought anything about it if only three or four people showed up. They think it could have been hundreds of people that actually showed up. And that's why it got on Herod's radar. If 100 of these magi or these wise men, these were people who understood the stars and the signs, and they made prophetic movements based on that. So Herod knew if these folk are moving in this direction, I got to kill whoever they're looking at. So it's a possibility it was way more than three, four. It could be more than that. But we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. All right, so let me put this up. Have we missed anything about Mary? In our tradition, in our Christmas tradition story and doing all these things, one of the problems with Christmas being so commercialized, there's a lot of things that we do miss. And so when you bring it back to the story of Jesus, is there any things that we're missing in the tradition? I showed you a few things, but let's go specifically to Mary. Is there anything that we have been blinded to or maybe didn't catch? Because here's the problem with reading the Bible. Now, let me explain it to you. I read the Bible every year through, and even I have this issue. The issue that we have is I heard it before. And since you've heard it before, your mind automatically tells you, you can just go ahead and check out till they get to the end of it. I done heard the story. I done heard the story a bunch of times. Let me explain something to you the way I grew up. My mother, you couldn't open a gift until we read the Christmas story.
Amen.
Amen. Now, guess what? I was reading it, but I was glossing over it because I want to get to them gifts. I didn't care about Mary, the baby, the magi, and all that. But every year, you was going to have to read it. And so we read it every single year before you could open up one gift. But even in reading all that time, something about hearing something over and over again, your mind says, I don't really need it. I already know it. I can skim through it. I understand it. And that's where blind spots come, because it's a tradition. I already got it. I don't need to hear it. I already heard it. But that's when we miss things. So blind spots come when you think you already know. So let me ask this question. Have we missed anything about Mary? Let's go to the scripture and let's study it. Let's look at Luke 1:26.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth.
One of the best narratives of the Christmas story or the birth of Jesus would be Luke chapters 1 and 2. It really gets into, but I'm backing up to 1. Now, when I say the Christmas story, I do need you to understand that the tradition that Jesus was born on December 25th is a farce. It is not true. He wasn't born on December 25th. There's a lot of historical things that point that he wasn't born on that, but we might as well celebrate him sometime. You got to celebrate his birth sometime. The world chose the 25th, and I can tell you why. I don't have time to tell you why, but that's why we call it the Christmas story. But it's always good to celebrate his birth. We talk about his death, but there will be no death and resurrection if there wasn't a birth. So celebrating his birth, there's nothing wrong with it. But when you understand the story of his birth, there's some things that we may have missed. So first of all, we're picking it up in the sixth month. The sixth month means in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So the relative of Mary was Elizabeth, and she was pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist. In the sixth month, this happened. The number six represents the number for man. And so it was interesting that in the sixth month, something happens to Mary. Let's look at verse 27.
To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary.
Here's something that we miss because we don't know the history of what happened in those days. We miss the age of Mary. So Mary was not 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, because in those days, in that culture, you got married early. Number one, they have what they call bar mitzvahs, and we see that later in Jewish culture. But you were known to be an adult at the age of 13. And medical science proves it out, because when women go into their cycle, they don't go into it in 20 and 25. They go early because what the body is saying, it is ready to be able to hold something in its womb. The problem with our culture is Western civilization put education first. And so what it ended up doing, it ended up dumbing down people and saying, you're not ready. Your mind is not ready until you are much older. But in their culture, they were trained that at 13, you were ready to live life. You had everything. You had all the knowledge you needed. I'm saying that for a reason, because when the Bible says that you should save yourself to marriage, it's not thinking that there would be 40-year-old virgins. It is thinking that somewhere around 15, 16, 17, even 18, you are ready to move in. But it is Western culture that changed that whole cycle. So some of y'all are 35, 40, unmarried, and wonder why my body, I can't control this lust. You're normal. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You are normal. It's not God's fault. It's the culture's fault. And now you're stuck and you're single and you're like, God, take this away. He's not taking it away, because your body is made to want certain things so you can hold certain things inside of you. Now, he will help you keep yourself, but I wanted to give you some liberation. There's nothing wrong with you. Baby, you just need to get saved. You wouldn't have them desires. No, I'm human. I got blood warning warm in my veins. And some of the mothers who are 80 years old will let you know that stuff don't go too quick. I'm human, and I have certain desires, but I yield those desires to God. But here's the thing. In God's culture, you weren't supposed to be waiting as long as you're waiting. So don't think God is so cruel. That it really wasn't God's culture. So anyway, Mary was, scholars say she was somewhere between 14 or 15 when she was pledged to be married. Joseph was a little older, because that was the dynamic of the day. But one thing we understand about Mary is that Mary must have been poor. She must not have had a whole lot of money, because most of those virgins in those days didn't. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us their parents' names. There are some people later that wrote some stuff early on that tells us the parents' names, but people can't tell if it's fiction or it's true. I'll throw out a couple things that they believe. One of the things they believe is that her parents were killed early, and when Herod was doing some other things, he didn't just try to kill baby Jesus. He killed a lot of people trying to make sure he was the only one. So some people believe that Mary's parents were killed early, and that forced her into poverty. Some people believe that they went on, but the Bible doesn't tell us, so I'm not going to bring it up and make it a tradition. It's just one thing we do know is that the Bible doesn't talk much about Mary's parents. Doesn't talk about much about Mary's wealth. So this is a beautiful thing. And so that Mary was a young woman who was pledged to be married. That means her life was going to change. If her parents were dead and she didn't have that and she didn't have those means, now all of a sudden, because she's pledged to be married to somebody who is a carpenter by trade, didn't mean he was very wealthy, but her situation was going to change at least a little bit. Now, some of y'all single women know what I'm talking about. If I can just have a man that got some W-2s coming in, my life would be a little bit better. It's hard to do all this by myself, on my own. So Mary was happy. She was a virgin, and she was pledged to be married. In other words, she was engaged. She had a promise. She had a ring. She was happy. Somebody say happy. Mary was happy because her life was getting ready to change for the better. And the fact that she was chosen by Joseph, because Joseph didn't have to choose her, could have chose somebody else, but she was chosen. Her life was going to change shortly. So this is going, it's beautiful. The Christmas story is so beautiful. Let's look at verse 28.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
The Lord is with you. You who are highly favored. The favor of the Lord is on you. The Lord is with you. The favor of the Lord is on you. The Lord is with you. An angel comes to Mary and tells her this. Let's look at the very next verse.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
That's easy to gloss over. That's easy to find a blind spot to go on and get to the next verse. But the Bible says Mary was greatly troubled. Let's go back. Maybe I'm missing something. Let's go back to 28. Read that.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings.
Greetings.
You who are highly favored.
You are highly favored.
The Lord is with you."
The Lord is with you. But then the scripture says next, the next verse says, Mary was greatly troubled by that. Put verse 29 up. What did the angel say that made her greatly troubled? Now, this is a blind spot because most of us haven't looked at that and even seen that. We just knew the angel came to her. Everything was happy. Jesus came, and now we get to give gifts on Christmas. No, slow down. Why did she hear from the angel and become greatly troubled? Now most people believe she was troubled and afraid by the angel, but that's not what it says. It says she was greatly troubled at his words. His words said, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with you," and that troubled Mary. Now it's something to dig in. I love it when you get into scriptures that don't make sense and you got to think. Don't just rush past it, because that's where blind spots come, and just take tradition. No, let me look. And Mary was greatly, not just troubled, greatly troubled. Let's read the next verse.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God."
Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor. He said again, "You have found favor with God." Now, here's the thing. We don't know much about Mary's story because it doesn't tell us. But we know that she was pledged to be married and she should have been happy. But the scripture says when she heard that the Lord was with her and that favor was headed her way, or favor was on her, she was greatly troubled. That saying troubled her, because not only do we have blind spots reading the story, Mary had a blind spot that many of us all have. Let's read what I have put up next. Read that, Mother Mitchell. I'll have you read it.
We are often blinded by our circumstances so that we don't see ourselves as God sees us.
This is what happens in life. Even when life is getting ready to change for the better, we are so stuck in what has happened to us in our past. There's something called self-sabotage, where even when you're getting ready to step into a blessing, you find a way to mess it up, because in the back of your head, it never works out for me. I know Joseph said I'm going to be his, but something's probably going to happen. My parents did this, and life has done that. I haven't had much money, and things have fallen. I've been broken apart, and people have left me, and people have walked out on me, and I got some issues and some sins in my life. And even when the preacher or the angel or the messenger says the favor of God is on you, or you have radical blessings, or you have radical grace, something in your head says, "I don't know. I don't know if it will work for me." The saying greatly troubled her. And the reason why it greatly troubled her, because she didn't see herself the way God saw her. Because circumstances have a way of making you feel so small. If I was favored by God, I
I'd be married by now. If I was favored by God, I'd have a better job by now. If I was favored by God, people wouldn't have walked out on me. If I was favored by God, I wouldn't have got molested. If I was favored by God, my loved one wouldn't have committed suicide. I hear you talking, Pastor, but it troubles me because I think the saying is for everybody but me. I want to be blessed, but it never happens for me. I'm looking at opportunities. I'm getting ready to step in, but it'll probably mess up. It'll probably blow up in my face. You have people picking out wedding dresses, but also thinking about, let me get a divorce lawyer just in case, because things never work out in my favor. It never. And here's the thing. When you don't see what God sees, you become blind to who you are. Here's the thing that we have to understand, that of all the women in the world, the one woman for God to put his eternal seed inside of, God chose her of all the women in the world, but she didn't see what he saw. And I'm here to let you know, some of y'all are better than what you think. The circumstances that are trying to build you and grow you and stretch you, you've allowed them to create blind spots. And when you look in the mirror, say, it never worked for me. I know it's going to work for Sister Rankin, but God, I don't know if it'll work for me. God, I see Devin growing. My God, I don't know if it'll work for me. And I'm speaking to women, because women, you go through this a lot. Because the way the system is set up, sometimes you're at the bottom of the barrel. And you got to do everything. And many times you don't get thanked. And sometimes the kids, you're wiping their bottoms and you're burping them and you're doing all kinds of stuff. And you're spending your last on them. And sometimes they are not old enough, mature enough to say thank you. And you don't have no help and nobody's there for you. You don't have a support system like somebody else has. And at the end of the day, the stress is weighing on you. But God says you are still favored of the Lord. And I want to put something down in your belly. I want to put something down in your spirit. I got something for you, but you got to see yourself the way God sees you. You got to take the blindness off. If I'm still here, if I'm still breathing, if blood is still in my veins, there's still a purpose for my life. There's still a destiny for my life. Let me pick myself up. Let me dust myself off and let me go on and see what the end's going to be. Just because it's been this way doesn't mean it's going to always be this way. It won't always be like this. God will perfect that which concerns me. Sooner or later, it's going to turn in my favor. Mary was greatly troubled because she just didn't know, not me. But let's keep on reading. Let's go to Luke 1:31.
You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.
Verse 32.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David.
Think about this woman who is greatly troubled and hearing all these things from the angel. The next verse, verse 33.
And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.
Verse 34.
How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin.
First of all, this saying greatly troubles me. And then the next thing you do, you think about all the reasons why it can't work for you. How can this be? And here's the thing. You have legitimate reasons why it won't work for you. That's a legitimate reason. How can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? I don't have a degree. How can this be? I've had three marriages and they've all failed. How can this be? You're telling me to start a business in 2020, but my credit is 250. How can this be, God? It sounds like good news, but it troubles me. Because I can't see. I can't see. I can't see it. But that's why we walk by faith. And not by sight. It don't look like. Here's the thing. God likes to use the unlikely people. He likes to use the ones that don't look like it's going to turn out for. God likes to use the ones that look like they've been counted out. He likes to call the unlikely. He likes to call the lowly. He likes to call the depressed. He likes to turn things around because he's just that kind of God. Yeah. But pastor, when I was young, somebody touched me inappropriately. And God said, but I want to touch you appropriately. I want to put my hand on you. He touched me. And now I'm no longer the same. I'm not saying you won't deal with it, or you may not have to have therapy. But just because it happened to you doesn't cancel what God is going to do in your life. God still got a plan for your life. God still got something for you. And just like Christmas, you're yet unwrapping what God is doing in your life. Have you ever had a gift that you kept trying to unwrap and it took a while before you saw what was under the gift? But I'm letting you know, in 2020, start ripping stuff off. I am what God says I am. I'm tearing off unforgiveness. I'm tearing off depression. I'm tearing off low self-esteem. I'm tearing off suicidal spirits. I am what God says I am. It may have troubled me greatly, but I'm adjusting to this. I like what Mary was doing. First, it says Mary was greatly troubled. But next thing she did, she started asking some questions. Which means she was moving from the fact that this can't be to how will this be? Come on, Mother Rankin. How will this be? I'm greatly troubled at first, but when I keep hearing the word, that's why you got to keep coming to the house of God. Because once you keep hearing the word, you switch and start thinking, but maybe. How will this be? What would I look like walking down an aisle? What would I look like owning my own business? What would I look like transitioning from Section 8? Nothing wrong with Section 8. I thank God for it. But how would it be if I had a house with 5 rooms in it? How would it just might be. But I got some questions. I'm still a virgin. Don't understand this. And let's look at what the answer says. Verse 35.
The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you.
Woo! I'm so glad we go to a Holy Spirit church. Because it didn't say you got to do it by yourself, Mary. It says something's going to happen and the Holy Ghost going to get on you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Thank God for speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Every now and again. And the anointing of God. No, you can't do it by yourself. But when the Holy Spirit get on you. One of my favorite preachers says it this way. He says back in the day when he was in the 70s, he had an afro. And his afro was nice but nappy. But there was something called afro sheen. And what his hair was in natural, when he put the afro sheen on it, it turned the nappy into nice. It took the natural and made it supernatural. In the natural, I shouldn't even be a preacher. If you know me and know how I talk, I mumble. I don't talk that well. I'm always not that articulate, not that clear. I stutter when I talk, but when the Holy Ghost get on me. I don't know what you're not, and I don't know what you don't have, but when the Holy Ghost get on you, you might be a virgin, but when the Holy Ghost come on you, you might not be that smart, but when the Holy Ghost come on you, you might be promiscuous right now, but when the Holy Ghost come on you, you might be gay right now, but when the Holy Ghost, I'm so glad I don't have to do it by myself. It's not to my energy. It's not to my expertise. But thank God that the Holy Ghost is going to come on me. All right, read more.
The Holy Ghost will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
And the power. It's the Holy Ghost and power. I heard the old saint say it this way. Power, power, wonder working power. In the blood of the Lamb. There's some power that's going to come on you to do what you can't even see yourself. Read.
So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.
And this is the thing you have to understand. When it happens in your life, you give credit not to Trump, not to the Republicans or the Democrats, not even to James Andre Mitchell or Henry Royce Mitchell. You give credit to the Son of God. I go to the deliverance temple, but it was the Son of God that did that. It was nobody but the Son of God. I work at General Motors, but General Motors didn't do this. It was the Son of the living God. Next verse.
Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month.
This is the importance of having fellowship amongst other believers and relationship with other believers. Because when sometimes God's getting ready to do something in you, he's doing something with your neighbor too. And say, well, what I want you to do, I don't want you to be jealous with Elizabeth. I want you to look at Elizabeth, and what I'm talking to you about, I'm already doing with her. And don't you remember about her? It was said she couldn't produce anything. But I done touched her, and like I'm touching her, I'm going to touch you. Oh, but Pastor, I'm sick in my body. Look at the apostle who's in ministry away right now, but who had rheumatoid arthritis for 3 years and could not move and was all crippled over. But now he's moving at 75 years old. If it did it for him, he can do it for you. I need you to look at your neighbor and say, God, if you're doing it for them, you can do it for me. I know you won't leave me out. If you bless Ruther, you'll bless Kelly. If you bless Joyce, you'll bless Rankin. If you bless Tyrena, you bless Allen. You bless Allen. You bless JB. You can do it, God.
That's word.
That's why you need to be in relationship with people. Because God don't like to just bless one person. He likes to bless the whole block. He likes to bless the whole row. And if you got somebody on your row that don't want to be blessed, tell them, get off my row. This is a row for blessing. This is a pew for blessing. This is a chair for the blessings of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord make rich. And he added no sorrow. And he said, guess what? She's already in her sixth month. And this is why. Here's the reason why Luke 1:37 read.
For with God, nothing will be impossible.
Mary, I know that first greatly troubled you, but let me fix it all up for you, Mary. With God, ain't a thing impossible. Let's look at what it says. This is the ESV, the next verse, Luke 1:37. It's the same verse, but in another version.
For no word from God will ever fail.
No word from God will ever fail. I'm going to put this up. Blind faith is normally very dangerous unless it's blind faith in a sure rhema word from God. The angel came and gave her a word. And when she first heard it, it troubled her. But as she kept hearing, faith started coming up. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you avail yourself to the word of God, what you can't see starts seeming like a possibility. And the next thing you start thinking is, wait a second, it might be impossible with man. It might be impossible in Muncie. It might be impossible with me, but it might be possible with God. And so what I want you to do is take the blinders off and have blind faith in a rhema word from God. A rhema word from God is a sure word. I ain't talking about you just following some prophet you heard on TV at 2 a.m. I ain't talking about that foolishness. I'm talking about when you know it's a word from the living God. And let me toot my own horn. I don't get up here and just talk foolishness. I preach the word of the living God. And if you come under my ministry and you really yield yourself, something's going to happen in your psyche. You can't listen to my preaching and stay down forever. It'll raise you up, not because of me, but because of the rhema word that comes out of my mouth, the prophetic voice, the voice of vision, the voice that sees your future. I'm speaking to your future. I'm speaking to your life, and I'm saying, dead man, dead woman, rise up in God and possess. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, rise up and possess. All right, let's look at Luke 1:38.
And Mary said, behold.
The word behold means look. Mary said, behold, which means a look. And so it's no longer is it blinding. Now she can see some. Look, read.
I am the servant of the Lord.
Wait a second. It's not about what I'm not. It's about what I am.
I am.
And because of the I am, I'm a servant of the Lord.
Yes.
I may have some addictions, but I'm the servant of the Lord. I may be confused, but I'm the servant of the Lord. I may be broke right now, but I'm the servant of the Lord. I may not know what my next step's going to be, but I'm the servant of the Lord. I may have been diagnosed with cancer, but I'm the servant of the Lord. Read.
Let it be to me according to your word.
Well, guess what, God? If you said it, do it just like you said.
Yes.
I can't see it. I don't understand it. But God, you said it. Do just what you said. And God, in 2020, do what you said in this ministry. God, in 2020, do what you said. Do what you said. Look, I see it, God. Come on and do it for me. How about you tap yourself chest and say, do it for me, God. Do it for me, God. Do it for me, God. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. And that's why sometimes when God does it, somebody says, won't he do it? And I'm here to tell you, yes, he will. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Won't he do it? Yes, he will.
The angel departed from her.
The angel left because she had grabbed hold by faith. Guess what? When I was struggling, me and my wife were struggling to have kids. It didn't look like it was ever going to happen. We just held on to faith. Mother Woods is not here, and we've been praying for her. She called me one morning. She said, I see a beautiful bouncing boy with hair. There wasn't no pregnancy, wasn't nothing in the womb, but God was showing the people of God. He was showing the prophetic people that just because the womb is closed now and just because there's been miscarriages in the past, when I get ready to turn it around, can't nobody stop me. What God has for me, it still is for me. And guess what I said? And when she called me, I didn't say, Mother, we ain't got nothing going on. You know what I said? Mother, I see it. Mother, I believe what you're saying. And guess what? Bouncing baby boys kept coming. I had to tell God, slow down with the bouncing baby boys because we're doing all right. Now I got bouncing baby boys and a baby girl because when God get ready to do it, can't nobody stop him. Mary went from greatly troubled to seeing herself as God's servant. In other words, she went from greatly troubled to saying, I can do this thing. With your help, God, I can do it. Me and me equals zero. Me and God means everything. Let's go back to the scripture as we move our way out of here. Verse 39.
Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah.
When you really believe, you start moving with haste. All this procrastination you've been doing, that's some folk that do not believe. When you believe, you get a pep in yourself. All of y'all who want to show up at church at 11:45, I'm not fussing, but yes, I am. In 2020, you need to get yourself here with haste, ready to receive a word from God. God might want to speak through you, but he can't speak through you at 12:45. Bring yourself to the house of God, ready to worship God, ready to do what God has you to do. Sometimes things get in the way, but we can always tell where your heart is. Sister Sarita came in. She said, I'm sorry I was late, but I could see in her eyes she didn't want to be late. She wasn't even singing this morning, but in her heart, she wanted to be. God going to bless that. Sometimes you can't, but your heart ought to want to do the right thing. All right, let's move on. Especially if you believe. Some people say, I really love your ministry, Pastor Andre. I just love you. You're my favorite pastor, but I don't never see him in church. You don't believe. You might love me, but you don't believe. You believe. You would come with this word. You would have your cup open and ready to receive the word of God to change and alter your life. Luke 1:40 and 41, read.
And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit.
It was so powerful that what Mary was carrying and what she received, that it touched the other person that she was next to. I want people to get around me and get filled with the Holy Spirit without even asking, because what I'm carrying on the inside of me. Next verses.
And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold.
For look. We all see it now.
When the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Now so much she had received faith so much that the sound of her voice was anointed. Read verse 46 and 48.
And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
I'm not going to read the fullness of it. Mary goes into a praise song. I want you to read some more of this, but I want to show you how important this praise song is. Read some more.
For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed.
She went from being greatly troubled to praising. Everybody from generations is going to call me blessed. And it's true because I'm preaching on her right now. But let's understand, there's another blind spot we're missing of how powerful this was. She was engaged to be married and she was a virgin. When she found out that she was going to have a baby as a virgin, she was going to have to tell her fiance this. And ain't no man going to believe what the Holy Spirit touched me and that's how I'm pregnant. Ain't no man in his right mind gonna believe that. But Mary didn't even worry about any of that. She had so much embraced what God said, she started praising before the full thing was out. You don't have to see it all. Some of y'all just want, you want to know, well, how am I gonna talk to Joseph? Don't worry about that, but praise God. God, you're gonna figure it out. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. I don't know if he's gonna believe me, walk away from me. And he did walk away from him, but God turned him back around. Folk will walk away from you and God will bring them back around. You praise God and believe from this day forward, folk gonna call me blessed. They gonna call me delivered. They gonna call me wealthy. They gonna call me intelligent. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care who I gotta let down or who I gotta walk away from. I receive the word of the Lord. And this is the reason why we can even have a Christmas story. It's because one woman believed God. All right, we're gonna put this up and then we're gonna close by video and communion. Our blind spot decoration for this Christmas season. I'm going to give us three decorations. You don't have to repeat after me. I'm just going to let you see them. And you can say them where you are if you want, but you don't have to say them out loud. Lord, once I see what you have for me, like Mary, let me no longer be greatly troubled by my trouble. No longer let me be greatly troubled by my past trouble. Once I see, once the blind spots are gone. Next one. I can no longer be blind to your purpose for me. And like Mary, I will praise you for your faithfulness even before I see the promise. I'm going to praise you, God, for your faithfulness. You haven't let me down, even though I've been troubled. I know you haven't let me down. The last declaration, Father, I enter this new decade pregnant with possibility and positioned for promises. Father, I enter in this new decade pregnant with possibility and position for promises. Father, I enter this new decade pregnant with possibility and position for promises in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, let's stand to our feet and let's praise the Lord.